Hi there, and welcome to Canine Conversations with Jo, the podcast for you and your dog. Each of my episodes will be filled with hints and tips for training your dog in a fun, friendly, and easy way. So don't forget to subscribe, and if you have any questions, then please do get in touch via my website, which is www.paws-itivity.co.uk. Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of my podcast. Today is the audio recording of my webinar, Ban the Bark. You're going to enjoy this a lot, hopefully, and get to the bottom and resolve your problem of excessive barking. Enjoy. Welcome to my Ban the Bark presentation. You're all here because you may be experiencing a problem with excessive barking at home with your pups. So what you need to know about is why do our dogs bark to begin with? Well, ultimately, our dogs have been bred to alert us to some things. It can be all sorts of things. But of course, if the reward and reinforcement comes along, things can get out of hand and your dog can just enjoy that barking a little bit too much. So what can we do about it? So there are seven main reasons that our dogs bark. And what I need you to all be able to do, which is why your pen and paper might come in hand, is to be able to identify the type of bark that your dog is doing. And chances are it could actually be more than one kind, you know, some, we'll get onto that in a moment. So my dogs, they bark for more than one reason, some maybe not, but more often than not, it could be a multiple amount of different reasons why your dog is barking. So I like to call them the seven woofy sins. And the first one is alarm barking. So that's a response to noises, sights, you know, your doorbell, somebody walking past, something like that. So that's just alerting you to something that they think you need to be aware of. Then you've got the attention seeking, which I think we're all used to that one. It's used in an attempt to get our attention for some reason. Maybe they want to go out. Maybe they just want a hug. Maybe they want us to play with them. Maybe they just want to go out, to go back in, come back in again. It's just for some attention seeking. So we've also got the greeting barking. So, you know, we come home, somebody arrives, they just want to say hello and they get all excited and they bark. We've got compulsive barking. So that's barking for no sort of apparent reason that we know and we can spot. And then it comes with a repetitive movement. So maybe spinning or some sort of repetitive motion. You've got the socially facilitated barking, which is ultimately saying, hey, you over there. Hi, yes, my name's dog. My name's dog too. It's just their way of responding to another dog's bark to say, hey, I know you're there. I'm here. Can you hear me? We've got the frustration-induced barking. So that's due to confinement, boredom, or separation. Now, just be mindful that this is not what I'm going to be discussing today. It is not for anybody that's concerned about separation anxiety. That is a whole completely different topic, which really it can't even be looked at on a basic level via a webinar. If you suspect that your dog might be experiencing any form of separation anxiety, you need to speak to a qualified trainer, because it's a word that does get bandied about quite a lot at the moment, but your dog may not necessarily have separation anxiety. So you have to be very careful when it comes to things like that. And then finally, we've got territorial barking. So that's people, dogs, animals near their territory, which, you know, they're going past your garden, etc. That's the territorial barking. So what you need to do is, out of all of those, you need to identify your dog's bark. You need to know which of those your dog is doing, because once we can identify them, we can start taking steps to resolving the issue. So what are we going to do? First of all, wherever we can, a lot of things can be resolved with a bit of control and management alongside your training. So what can we change in the environment to reduce the chance of barking occurring? So for instance, if you have a problem with your dog's barking at birds in the garden, cats even, what you can do is you can either put up the cat spikes that they can't walk across your fence. You can put up the fake birds that keep the bigger birds out of the garden. If that is what is causing your dog to bark, it will certainly reduce the amount of visitors you have in your garden if it's cats and birds, and it will help you to be able to start your training. If it's the doorbell, first things first, you can start to change the sound of your doorbell. So rather than just having that same ding dong, let's change it, especially those of you that have got the electronic doorbells now, and you can have your doorbell say anything. And what I actually did with mine is I changed my notifications on my phone to the same ding dong as my doorbell. So in that case, my dogs didn't sort of realize, oh, hang on, every time that noise happens, mum goes to the door and then carries something nice for us in. So it was just a case of, oh, there's that ding dong noise. Mum's still sitting on the sofa playing with her little light box phone. We don't need to do anything about it. You can also consider sort of having your TV or your radio on, just as some background noise to mute out any additional noises that might be going on outside. So for instance, if you know a sort of car door slamming, etc., cause a problem, and you happen to see somebody moving house, or you know there's going to be a lot of deliveries, you can pop these on just to buffer out the sound. But one of my favourites is on your windows, you can put the sticky back cling film type stuff that you can get from any good retailer, that it blocks your dog's vision but doesn't stop the lovely light coming in. It does mean that you also can't be a nosy neighbour, but it really, really, really does help. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a permanent feature, but it can just help while you start the training. So the absolute bottom line of what I want you to be able to take home with you today, or take away from this webinar, is that if a behavior can be practiced and is reinforced, it's going to continue. It's as simple as that. Absolutely as simple as that. So if it can be practiced and it's reinforced, it's going to be continue. So we need to use that control and management to stop our dogs from practicing a behavior and getting that reinforcement. So what could be reinforcing your dog for barking? Many things. And this is where you sometimes need to think outside the box. This is why we don't yell at our dogs or talk back to them, because they're essentially getting attention from you. So if our dogs are barking and we're going, stop it, shh, shh, you noisy little what's it, stop it. They're like, hey, mummy's joining in with me, woohoo. That's not going to stop anything, because they're being reinforced because we're joining in. They may bark at a delivery driver and then the delivery driver leaves. Brilliant. Doggy's done his job. He's been reinforced. Scary thing went away. Maybe they're barking, another dog barks back, another dog's bark back, and you've just got this canine conversation going on. It could be when you're returning home, they're happy, woof, 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 brilliant, mum's home, reinforced. The barking's brought you in the door. They've barked, the bird, the cat, whatever's in the garden has left. They've gone off and that dog walked past the window and it's gone. So all of these are results, and there's lots of other things that if your dog finds a result that they want from doing a behavior, it's the reinforcement. And therefore that barking will continue if you don't take the time to resolve it, because your dog, even though they're not getting a treat or a squeaky ball or something like that, you're going, good dog, well done. If your dog's getting their own personal reinforcement for doing it, it's going to carry on. So that's what you need to look at, is where are they getting the reinforcement from, and how can you stop them getting that reinforcement and give them reward and reinforcement for something better? You have to be consistent. So this is where a lot of us will fall down with training. Is if you've got many people in the household, if you just can't be consistent because of your work, your home life, etc., it's going to make it harder to get this sorted. So if you know you're going to struggle with consistency, you need to make sure that there's even more control and management in place to help stop things going a little bit wobbly. And of course, nothing worth having comes easy. It does take a lot of time. So when I ran this course over the first lockdown, me and the group, we all started to see really, really, really good results, certainly within the first few weeks. But of course, it then takes practice and management to build the behaviours. So by about 2 months, most of our excessive barking problems had completely disappeared to a certain extent. They're always still going to be there because, like I say, our dogs are bred to bark and alert us to things and tell us about things. But it doesn't need to be to the excessive amount that they start to bark at every little thing. A little bark to say, hey, look, mum, there's the postman, is more than enough. We'd say, okay, yeah, postman, thank you. You don't need to keep telling me about it. That's what we want to work towards. So on we go. So my top three behaviours. So these are really nice and basic. Really nice and basic. And we want nice, easy behaviours, because then you and your dog are going to have a lot more success, which means more rewards, more reinforcement, and your dog will then choose to do these behaviours more. So first of all, reflex to name. So those of you that may have done my recall session may have heard this one, but it really is surprising how many dogs do not respond in an instant to their name. So you need to just think about, have you worn it out? Which is quite possible. We use our dog's name a lot during the day, an awful lot. You know, you just say, oh, hey puppy, what you been doing? Puppy, you cheeky, what's it? Puppy this, puppy that. And of course, it gets to a certain point where they're just like, oh, you've used my name, you've worn it out. I don't need to respond at such a interesting rate right now, because we're just always chit-chatting to them. So I want you to really build on that reflex to name. So just, you know, every day, handful of their food or whatever it is you want, that your dog likes to work for, their tennis ball, you're just going to retrain their reflex to name. Because we want them to know that when they hear that name, whatever it is that they're doing, it's just not worth it, because you're going to have something better for them. So remember, it can be food, it can be toys, it can be love, it can be hugs, it can be games. It doesn't matter what you reward your dog with, so long as they like it. So you just start off with your chosen reward for your dog, and you say their name, puppy, and then give them a reward. Puppy, give them a reward. And you can do that every day if you want. It will soon build the value back up in their name. And just sometimes calling their name, you get their attention, you can ask for a sit. You've happily broken a little chain of barking, because they're more interested in what you've got to say and do with them, and they've forgotten about whatever it was going past that window or whatever it was they were barking at. Hand touch, again, those of you that have done my recall and loose lead walking may have seen me mention this. Again, this is a brilliant behaviour, a really good what I call core behaviour, because if you can build on this hand touch, and if you can build duration for touching your hands, they can't look at anything to bark at, because they're too busy focused on hitting your hand with their nose. And whether you get that duration or you get a multi-tap, so they hit your nose like beep, 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 just like it's some magic button, they're more focused in getting that magic hand to deliver some more rewards for them. So it's much more interesting for them, and they cannot see whatever it was they might be barking at. So this is what you can call an incompatible behaviour, because they can't go and look out the window as well as touching your hand for rewards at the same time. So they've got an option. Do they want to bark out the window or come and get rewards for interacting with you? So the more incompatible behaviours you can teach when it comes to problem behaviours, the more you're going to be able to get on top of them quicker. And as mentioned during our chit-chat before, the basic behaviour. So I have just put sit on here, but any behaviour that your dog maybe does almost as a default that they love doing. It could be sit, it could be down, it could be paw, it could be twist or spin. Your dog's going to have a behaviour that they just, you can almost rely on to a certain extent. You know that they like doing that one. I want you to really build the value in this preferred behaviour for your dog. I personally like a sit or a down, purely again because if they're in a sit or a down, they can't run to the door, because it's an incompatible behavior, because their feet and bum requires to be on the floor, which means they can't move. So whereas if you have got a spin or anything like that, your dog's still moving. That's what I like, is a nice still position. You can also work on your settle. That's still very valid and a very good one, but again, I've mentioned settle before. So you can check out the other webinars for that. And the settle works for your recall and all sorts of things, because you're building value on a set point. So yeah, just absolute basic behaviours so that your dog knows there's no point in moving from that position. Because why would you change your position if your favorite thing keeps appearing where you are? Because I know for definite that if I was said told to, hey, Joe, just sit in this sofa, and a bunch of pink iced donuts kept falling from the ceiling, there is no way on God's green earth I'm moving off of that sofa. After a few repetitions, I wouldn't be moving. But this is what we want to do. We want to build our value for our dogs in certain behaviours and staying in those certain behaviours so that other things can go on around them. So what you need to do is you just need to ensure that you put the right reward with the right environment. So again, if anybody's attended the other ones, I haven't recapped this because I don't want to keep boring you. But you need to put the right reward with the right environment. So if you've got, I like to think of green, nice and easy. Yeah, you can go. That's a nice, easy environment all the way up to red. Right. What do I need to prepare for? I know this environment's going to cause me a problem. So if you can think about where your dog barks the most at home, so whether that's at the front door, the living room window, the garden, it could be all of them. I want you to think about, right, they're the worst areas. So in those worst areas, that's where I'm going to have the highest value rewards. But I can still practice these behaviours that I'm aiming for in the quieter areas. So maybe the kitchen, dining room, bedroom, bathroom, whatever. I can practice those behaviours more for their normal food or something lower value in the easier areas. So pair together the rewards for the area. So the more the area is prone to barking, a higher value of reward, and the least value for barking, the lower value rewards. Because again, if you've got, for me, you've got Gary Barlow sitting on the sofa, I'm not getting off that sofa unless you've got 10 Gary Barlows holding 10 boxes of Jaffa cakes somewhere else in the house. So you have to make that reward worthwhile for your dog to choose that, hang on, no, I am going to do what mum's suggesting because it is way more valuable than what I'm doing over here on my own. And again, you would have heard me harp on about the 3 Ds. I like things in threes. I think that's a nice manageable number, which is why I've given you 3 training exercises to do. And then I have my little green, amber and red. It's just 3 little things you can put together. So the 3 Ds, this is all about proofing your behaviours. So no matter how amazing you think your sit is or your paw or anything like that, you can always improve that behaviour using the 3 Ds by increasing one of them at a time and then gradually building it up. So you can increase how far away your dog could sit from you. Can your dog sit while you're bouncing a ball? Because this will come to, can your dog sit when the doorbell goes? And how long can your dog sit for? No matter how you practice this, just raise them very, very slowly because we don't want your dog to fail. Should your dog fail, you can just lower the Ds. So they are very, very flexible. It might be that you can sit 20 meters away from your dog while they're doing a behavior, but they can't do it if you bounce a ball. So maybe you need to reduce the distance to help with the distraction. So you balance them off against each other for that success, but we certainly do not want failure. So you've got to go very, very slowly, work at it for you and your dog. So you go at your dog's speed. Just strive for progress, not perfection. It's one of my favorite sayings. You don't need to rush for this end goal. If you do, your dog is not going to understand the overall behavior you're looking for because you've rushed it. Okay, we don't go from practicing and running our couch to 5K to running a marathon. We need to do those little steps in between. So it's not just A, B, C, Z. You've got to go all the way through. And if it starts to wobble, you must go back down to that sort of previous successful point to rebuild the understanding for your dog. So a little recap for you. Control and management to prevent the practice of the barking. That is just vital. Because again, if they can practice the behavior, They're being rewarded for it. That's why it's carrying on. And it's going to carry on. Build the value in really simple behaviours, so it's quick and therefore frequently rewarded for your dog. We want them to be rewarded a lot more than what they're currently getting by doing their barking. You've got to use the right rewards for the right situation. So no boring biscuits when there's 10 cats sitting outside going, nah, 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 because you've not got hope in heck if you've just got a boring biscuit in a really high barky situation. And you must be consistent. So this applies to everybody in the house, anybody involved with your dog. It's absolutely vital that you are consistent. So I've got a couple of little bits for you today. So you might want to take a note of this website address, but again, you can always grab it later or drop me an email. It's just my website address, www.pause-ityvity.co.uk/downloads. Now I've highlighted in those, in that red box for you, just some little bits that could help you if you really want to get to the bottom of this. So first of all, it's what does your dog like? So you can really make a list of what does your dog like. So I don't want you to just put biscuits. What sort of biscuits? Chicken biscuits, beef biscuits, semi-moist, hard, crunchy. Really get down into the nitty gritty of what your dog likes. Tennis balls, great. Squeaky, large, small, rubber, latex, all sorts of things. What does your dog like? And to what level? So that's where you take this list of what your dog likes and you put it into your dog's hierarchy of rewards. So if your dog likes balls, for instance, it could be that they like a plain tennis ball. They're okay with just, a regular rubber ball, but they love a squeaky ball. So that's three different balls and you've got three different ways of how your dog likes it. So you've got your green, amber and red for your situation. So you can use the squeaky ball in a really high excitement area, but you can just use the boring rubber ball that doesn't even hardly bounce in somewhere where it's not so exciting. You can still roll it across the floor, but it's still a reward, but it's not as great as the squeaky one. You can then use that hierarchy of rewards, that green, amber and red, to your dog's environment level. So again, that green, amber and red, and then pair the colors of the rewards to the environment, and then you know that you're well on your way. And then there's just a little basic behaviors progression record, so you can just keep an eye on, can my dog do a sit when I'm 5 meters away? Can my dog do a sit if I'm 5 meters away and I bounce a ball? It just really does help to keep a track of things, so that when you get the chance to do another training session, you know where it is where you left off. So you don't suddenly jump a few places forwards and then end up with a string of failure. So your little plan of action, you're going to practice these three exercises that I've given you. Okay, so that's your reflex to name, your hand touch and your basic behaviour of sit or down. And you're going to practice these just in a variety of locations. So you've got all over your house, the garden, when you're out on walks. You're going to practice these exercises, again, using the rewards for that location. Keep remembering your 3 Ds, okay? That's vital. Your 3 Ds are absolutely vital. You must set your dog up for success. If there's failure, you've made it too hard. It's not your dog's fault. Your dog's not being stubborn or pig-headed. Dogs don't think like that. They're not stubborn and pig-headed. They just don't understand, or your reward is not valuable enough. So you set them up for success so they want to do it every single time. And just to let you all know, a little sneak peek, that my Ban the Bark book is going to be coming to a bookshelf near you soon. It's just at the final stages of editing and I hope it will be out very, very soon. So do keep an eye out for that, because that's the whole course that will be coming out to you, and there's even more information in there to help you get going. And just a little shameless plug, because I am shameless. If you missed my loose lead walking webinar, go and catch it now. And I'm also doing another one next Sunday, which you can book via my website, as always. And for attending this webinar, you'll even get a nice little discount as well. So that's next Sunday, the 7th of February at 3 p.m. For attending this webinar, you get 25% off the personalized and attendee plans. So what we'll cover in that loose lead walking, and I say it's a webinar, but you're going to get an awful lot more support than just a webinar. Those of you that have trained with me before know how much I'll be there to help you along the way. It's not just a webinar. You're going to get your advice, your support for your situation. So that's the participant spots. More exercises to work on. You've got troubleshooting and follow-up support for the personalized plan. There, you can also just come and watch, but there will be no interaction from me as such. You won't be able to ask any questions. You'll just be able to watch the session. There's going to be so much support on that one. It's certainly not one to be missed if you are struggling with loose lead walking, or even if you have a puppy and you want to get off on the right foot so that loose lead walking is never a problem for you. So you can just join in by going across to my website, the personalized plan. You get the webinar, Q&A during the webinar, follow-up calls with me, follow-up support, and a free ebook, and you get your discount code there. There's the attendee with your live webinar, and you get the Q&A, but nothing extra. And then just come and watch. You can just come and watch the webinar there as well, but no discount on that one because it's more than enough value there. If you've enjoyed this little session today, please do take a minute to leave me a review on Trustpilot or Google or whatever your favourite review place is, because it really does help other people to find me. And if the more people and dogs I can help, the happier I am. So you can get in touch via my email, website, the Facebook group if you're on Facebook, or my YouTube channel. So there's a variety of ways to get in touch with me. And that's all for now. So I'm going to stop my screen share and we're going to go across to the Q&A. So let's go and see what we've got going on. Right. Let me close that. Hopefully, can you all see me now? Somebody give me a thumbs up or a little chit chat. Right. Give me a little, can everybody hit, have we got any questions? Can't see any questions. Right, that should hopefully open that all back up. Right, any questions? It's all very quiet. Have I broken it? Are you all there? Oh no. So attention seeking barking is simple. I just walk away. If they're trying to get my attention, I walk away. And when they're doing a behaviour that I do want, David, then I reward them. It's, you know, they soon get the idea that barking means dogs learn by consequences. So the consequences for barking, getting my attention, is I leave. But I will give you attention when you're sitting on your bed. So I would work on teaching settle. And then simple as, if they bark at me, I leave. Tamara, 9 is not too late. It's never too old to teach an old dog new tricks. But just remember that the longer your dog has been practicing a behaviour, the longer it's going to take to fix. So if it's just a puppy that's been doing it for 6 weeks, it will take less time to train them than the dog that's been maybe doing it for 9 years. So it's not too late, but it will take longer. And so therefore you need your control, your management, your consistency and everything like that. So it will be a project. But it's certainly, even if you just are able to reduce it, it's not too late. Barking in the night, Katie and Max, generally it's because of something. More often than not, it's because of the foxes or the cats. So I would look at what your dog can see and hear during the night. It can also be just simple attention seeking. So I tend to ensure that where my dogs are sleeping, they can't see out a window. They've got a nice cozy bed to sleep in. If they're sleeping in a crate, have that covered over and potentially just leave the radio on in wherever it is they're sleeping so that there's less for them to hear. But generally, I find that it tends to be wildlife. If it's really early in the morning, say 5 o'clock, sometimes I find that it's a neighbour just going off to work every morning. And it only takes once for our dogs to do it and we come down to check on them. And that's enough for them to say, hey, hang on a minute, I barked and mummy and daddy came down and I got some attention. So it can just take that one time for them to think, hang on, I barked, I got attention, I'm going to keep doing that. So hope that helps, Katie and Max. Ali, if your dog still barks when you go away, should you come back? No. To remember to say, oh, when should you come back? If they're still barking, I don't go back. As long as I know that all their needs have been met, I know they don't need to go to the bathroom. I know that they've been fed. I know that they've been exercised. If I know it is purely attention seeking, I go off and do something else. If I need to be in the same room as them because for whatever reason I'm dusting, hoovering, whatever, just don't look at them. Eyes up, hands up, they don't get my attention. But I'm ready to go as soon as they decide that they're going to sit down or do something else. I'm ready to reward them. And it might just be a very simple reward that I'm not looking at them. But I just go, good pup, very nice pup. Because I don't want to necessarily get too excited with my rewarding, because that might just encourage them to carry on saying, hang on a minute, mum got really excited then, so I'm going to start again. So I keep it very blasé. Susan asks, how do you break the habit of all joining in or setting each other off? You've got to work on it individually. That's the hard bit. So you've got to take your time. This is multi-dog household, the joy. And Sue, as you know, I've got four of the rat bags. It was working on it all individually. And what I started on to begin with was settle. Teaching them all settle to begin with worked really, really well, because they all knew that they had their own little spot, or it was, well, they could go to any spot, but I would have blankets and beds on the floor and all they needed to do was settle on that blanket. There's a little bit more in the book about how to, when you've got a multi-dog household, how to go about it, but ultimately there's no easy way. You've got to do it all individually. So, but I would, a good starting place will be settle. Teaching settle to start with. Isabel, my dog doesn't like treats on walks. How can I change this? This particular, this is for barking at home, Isabel, but it's similar. You need to figure out what your dog is barking at. And chances are, if he's not eating the treats on the walks, it's because they've got no value. He might be over threshold, and just food means absolutely nothing. It's a whole different ball game when you go outside the house, because you need to think about what is triggering your dog to bark. Are they worried? Are they nervous? Are they fearful? But if your dog doesn't like treats, there's going to be something your dog does like. Somewhere there's something your dog likes. But if they don't like it when they're outside the house, it just goes to show how arousing they find the outside area. And therefore, no value, no reward's going to make any difference. You've got to be really, really work hard to find out what it is that they like and how you can get your dog to pay more attention to you. So, for instance, for me, if you are trying to get my attention when I'm at a Take That concert, you're going to have to be waving £1 million in cash at me. Something that means I could then get my own personal Take That concert. That would be the only reason that I would walk away. However, if I'm watching, if I've increased the distance, so thinking about the 3Ds, if I have increased the distance, so I'm no longer at the front row of the Take That concert, but I'm actually watching it in a cinema, it might not take me £1 million to get away, because that environment isn't as enticing. So I hope that kind of makes sense. But outside barking is a bit different. But you look at the triggers, look at the 3Ds. And if your dog's not taking any reward, it's because it's just way too exciting, or the environment's too stimulating, and you need to look at that and why they're barking outside. So that's a whole different ball game, that one, Isabel. Seven dogs, you're crazy. So that's I've got four, and hopefully I'll have a fifth at some point, but not for at least 12-18 months. Ali, barking to stop them barking at the hoover in the broom. Actually, Ali, what I might do is, because my dogs don't do it, what I might do, Ali, is when this all stops and we're allowed out. Well, actually, tell you what, Ali, drop me a message. When's Poppy next coming to playgroup? Because what I might do is I might do a quick video and video how to stop that. And I will train Poppy for you. And then we'll have a video that we can share with everybody. But I can't do it with mine because mine don't do it. If anybody's got a dog that has this problem, I'll be quite happy to do a video for you, but I need to find a dog that's barking at the Hoover or a broom or a mop, similar sort of thing, that moving sort of thing. Hairdryer. But my dogs don't do it because I've trained since puppies. So yeah, Ali, drop me a message and we can sort that. It's very easy to do, And I can just show you in a nice little quick video. But again, think about your 3Ds. 3Ds. So, you know, if you want a Hoover today, Ali, have Poppy as far away from the Hoover as possible to begin with, and maybe give her something super yummy. So you know that Poppy loves the garden. Maybe you could sprinkle some treats around the garden so that as she hears the Hoover in the background, she's just got something better to do. But yeah, I'll be able to do a video on that. I just need to find a dog that I can do it with. Yes, perfect. Thank you. So Isabel, if he's barking at dogs, you'll tip shit. Okay, no problem, Isabel. You know, keep me posted. Suzanne, he doesn't take treats at home if he's barking at dogs through the window. Yeah, so if you you've got two options. The sticky film is great, Isabel, so that you've blocked the view. Or you know, depending on, you know, you could just close the curtains or your blinds or something, but I prefer the sticky window film because it blocks the view and I still get all my lovely light. And then what you can do is if you want to start getting that as you work through this training, because your dogs can still hear the other dogs outside. So it gives you a chance to work on the sounds of other dogs around without them having the sounds and the visual. So what you can do is once you've got your dog happy about dogs passing and they can't see you, when you think, right, okay, I want to start getting my vision back because I want to spy at the neighbors or et cetera, take off a small portion of the sticky film at a time. And you can always stick it back on. It won't look as nice, but you can always stick it back on so that your dog's maybe only got an inch at the bottom to maybe peek out of, or an inch at the side. And we obviously don't want to encourage the peeking out, but if your dog looks through that gap, sees the dog and doesn't reward, doesn't bark at them, you can reward them and start your training again around the 3Ds with that little gap in the window, because that's increasing your distance. So taking that inch off the sticky film will is increasing that distraction. Sorry. So as you've increased that distraction, you can start working on your duration and distance. Getting it all my D's modelled up now. So hopefully, Isabel, yeah, that'll help. What if it doesn't stop? On Friday, she barked on and off for an hour. I ignored until I felt an hour was pretty long enough. I'm pretty sure a cat was in the garden. Curtains were closed, but they are full length glass doors. Can she sneak behind the curtain? Again, sticky film might be a good quick fix, Eve. Did you let her in the garden after she'd been barking? Has she learned that if she just even senses a cat, a fox, a rat or anything, that she barks and barks and barks and barks and it turns into attention seeking and then you do arrive? So I'd be inclined to really make sure she definitely can't see out the windows, and sticky plastic, or having her in another room so that she definitely can't see out, and having the radio on, because a lot of times, especially when the foxes start getting fruity and it's mating time and they do that screaming, oh my goodness, that's certainly one to set our dogs off. So it's generally noises outside. I mean, obviously, if you're concerned, you know, always check. It could be a burglar, so do look out your bedroom window, but you just need to be careful about what your dog's being reinforced for. Are they actually at the end of the day being reinforced for you coming downstairs? Because I'm pretty sure that even if a cat was in the garden, it wouldn't have hung around for an hour. They've generally got better things to go and do. Some cats are wopsits though and do just enjoy sitting there going nah, 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 nah. So jolly good. Well, yeah, Ali, let me know when Poppy's next at play group, or I might even be able to do it one weekend when she's not at play group, and I'll do it after play group. So yeah, that'd be great, Ali. I'll sort that out with you separately and then we can do that for everybody. Yeah, 2 in the morning, not fun. Yeah, it's It's generally foxes and rats and cats. That's generally what it's for. So I would be blocking the vision and leaving a radio on just low, or even white noise, whatever your preference to is fine. And if you want to get really, really technical, dogs, it's been scientifically proven that dogs do like reggae and soft rock. So, you know, nothing, it's nothing too sort of emotive where, you know, you've got classic FM on or anything like that can come to a big crescendo. So you can either, I'd put on the reggae or soft rock or some white noise. That's the best thing to go for. Yeah. So any other questions? Look at that. Look, I've got to this point in under an hour. I'm really impressed. I hope I didn't whiz through that presentation way too quickly for you. But you could always go back and watch it again. Try the radio as parents also can't try the film. Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, it's try the radio. So, yeah. So, yeah, try the radio. It really can help. And if you've got an old device around, Eve, that you can actually get dog apps. So you can be upstairs in bed watching or somewhere else, and you've got a phone, an old tablet pointing at your dog, or maybe even pointing out that window if you've got enough light to maybe see what upsets the dog. Because if we can figure out what really is causing it, then we can start really, really fixing it. So not breaking rules. No, I'm sure you're not. Knowing what you do for a living, Eve, if it's the Eve I'm thinking of, I know you wouldn't be breaking the rules. If you've got the builders coming in, Katie. So Katie's got a very nervous rescue dog, barks at any small sound. And she's got builders coming in. Should I move him out or persevere? Now, when you say moving out, Katie, I'm assuming you just mean somewhere while the builders are out and then he comes back home, or rather than rehoming. But if you've got somebody that could look after your dog for the day, I would be inclined to, if he can go to the daughters and he's happy, I would. Because if, for instance, you know, I'm not a fan of spiders. If I was forced to sit in a room with a room and I knew that a spider was going to come past at any minute, I'm going to start anticipating that there's going to be another spider, which even though there isn't another spider maybe coming, it could. And that worry building up of, well, there could be one, It keeps my brain whirring, as it were. Could it come? Whereas if I know that, you know what, if there's not too much noise, I can relax and then maybe go home at the end of the day when it's not so noisy, then I can. But otherwise, it will actually be more stressful for your pup to be around the builders. So I would pop them outside. And then it's something you can work on at his pace. And slowly, rather than just suddenly throwing the builders at him, Katie. Just again, working very, very gently at his pace and not around a house full of builders or anything, even if it's just builders for a day or a week or, I would take your pup's personal thoughts of that into account and pop him somewhere else for the day. If, so long as he's happy there, you don't want to throw him from the chip pan into the fire. So, yes. Anybody else? Lots of good questions today. I'm very impressed, everybody. I'm liking. Oh, good, Jude. I'm glad you found it useful. You're welcome, Eve. All right, well, I'll give you another couple of minutes. Otherwise, I'll let you all go. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, for those of you that are feeling nice and generous, I'm going to pop in the chat box there the link for my Trustpilot review. So if anybody feels nice and generous and you can click on there and leave me a little review, that would be lovely. But yeah, I mean, wonderful. If everybody's all happy with that. Like I say, I will, this is recording, so as soon as it's downloaded, I will pop it onto YouTube. So if you want to rewatch any of it, I've kept it nice and simple for you. And then hopefully at some point, you know, my book will be out. I promise it was supposed to be out in December, and well, things just get too busy. So yeah, Matt, you're welcome. You're welcome. No problem, Julie. Right. Reread the notes, and you can reread them. You can rewatch it. I'll put it in a podcast, and you can listen to it in your drive to work. So yeah, okay, everybody. I will love you and leave you there. By all means, if you have any sudden burning questions that haven't been answered, you're welcome to drop me a message, and I'll be more than happy to help you. So for now, I shall leave you to the rest of your Sunday. So go and enjoy. At least it doesn't. Well, it's not raining here, so I hope it's not raining with you. And I will see you all soon. So don't forget my loosely walking webinar. I say I call it a webinar. It's an absolute going to be an obsession getting it all fixed for you. But that starts next week. So go and use and abuse that discount code now. I will speak to you all later. Take care, everyone. Bye. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or want to get in touch, then visit my website, www.pause-itivity.co.uk. There's some additional notes in the show details for you if you wish. Take care, and I'll see you soon.